Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Phil? Not hearing anything. Thank you. Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast sunny morning with Plain Gardening. We got a great hour in front of us. We've had an interesting time talking about azaleas. You know, this is a good morning to talk about azaleas. Do you remember, can you remember, that Mobile was known as the Azalea City? It's amazing to me. Who would have thought, you know, when I moved back in 1992 to Mobile, moved back to the Azalea City, knowing it was the Azalea City, knowing what a big deal azaleas were, knowing that that was the motto and emblem of the city, that it was more identified than, you know, we talk about the live oaks now, we talk about whatever. So somehow Mobile went from being the Azalea City to the Port City. Oh, man, that's a name that resonates, Port City. Well, not really, does it? You know, it doesn't make you, you know, well, let's move to the Port City. It doesn't resonate quite, does it? Azalea City kind of is intriguing, and it makes it sound like, oh, that's a pretty place. Maybe we ought to move there. Mobile was the Azalea City for a long, long time. It has ceased to be the Azalea City. It's something we chose not to emphasize anymore. I don't know why. I'm still trying to figure this out as to what happened. Why politically it happened. It was clearly some political decisions to move away from being the Azalea City, to emphasizing that part of what we are. We didn't want to emphasize what was beautiful about the city. We wanted to emphasize something else. I'm not really sure why. But we've lost it. But azaleas are still there. They're still beautiful. It's still one of the things that makes Mobile what it is. People used to come to Mobile, not only for Mardi Gras, but for the azaleas. And it was kind of a great package, wasn't it? Because often in the middle of Mardi Gras, or shortly after, the azaleas were in bloom, and they were just stunning. They were just beautiful. And people came to see that. It was part of our package. It was part of what made us a great city. We could still do that. You know, one of the problems was that we switched from a few types of azaleas, the big southern Indians, which are so spectacular, and which need some space. They do need a little space. To a variety of azaleas that aren't as spectacular, that are dwarf, and that don't make as big a show. You kind of have to be able to concentrate. So for posterity, one day somebody will figure this out again. The big Southern Indians, the big bells, the big hoop-skirted azaleas, they're the ones that really brought people to Mobile, and they are fabulous right now. They're beginning to bloom. The Kissimmee in my yard is just about at full bloom right now. It is one of the most beautiful colors. I love the color of Kissimmee. I love the color of Formosa. Pride of Mobile is, well, it's Pride of Mobile. It's just about as glaring a color as you could ever imagine. It's a really cool azalea. There's a bunch of others. Mrs. Gigi Gerbing, the beautiful white, what's his name with the beautifully colored, multicolored Southern Indian azaleas. It's my mother's favorite, and I'll think of it in just a minute. There's some great colors out there, some beautiful colors. They're all big. They're all stupendous. George Lindley Tabor, thank you for reminding me of that. Mr. Tabor, that beautiful azalea with all of the pinks and the whites and the purples sort of all mixed into one bloom. Really very impressive, really very beautiful, really very hearty. Some great Southern Indian azaleas. I hope y'all won't forget those Southern Indian azaleas because they're part of the culture. They're part of the fabric of the city. They're part of what made the city so beautiful. They were as famous when we were able to concentrate on them, when we understood how to grow them. And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. It mostly means putting them in the right place and letting them grow. It's very simple. Just put them in the right place. Don't slam them up against the house. David, I'm not talking to you. I'm just saying let them breathe a little bit. Put them out in the yard. Think of them as a specimen out in the yard so that big hoop skirt can develop. Really beautiful plants. There it is. When we let that happen, they can be really, really nice and really much a part of our culture. So something to think about, returning those Southern Indians. Southern Indians aren't native. They aren't native. They're actually from China and Japan. But they're from a part of Japan and China that is very similar to our climate, and so they do very well here. They're actually far more celebrated here than they are in their native climes. So we've made especially of those. They do very, very well. You can't grow those up north. You don't see them as much north of Birmingham. It's too cold. Even many of those actually have a hard time blooming well in Birmingham. It's very much a specialty of the coastal south, very much something we do very well, those Southern Indian azaleas. The native azaleas, the things we call honeysuckle azaleas, they're a little different, aren't they? They're a little different. We have to think about those. Am I hearing right that is JP on the line? JP, are you there?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, JP.
Hey. I got only a couple of minutes to spare. I hope you do, too. The good lady planted some sugar snap peas about 3 weeks or so ago. They've been up about, roughly 10 days. Do you think it's too late, or you have any idea?
To plant more sugar snaps? Do you want to plant more?
No, the ones that we planted about 3 weeks ago, you think that it's too late?
Oh, that's fine. You know, I think that'll be fine. I like planting mine, as you know, in early January.
Yeah.
But I think the 3 weeks ago will they'll be just fine, and they should do just fine. It varies year by year as to whether that early planting makes a big difference. I think it made some difference this year, but I think you're going to be fine, JP, and I think you'll get good sugar snaps. Hey, JP, do me a favor.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of time, but when you start picking your sugar snaps, I want you to call in and tell me, okay?
I will.
Certainly and then we'll will. Know exactly. Yeah.
And in the meantime, right. Bill and Joe, I'm just thinking about
All right.
Y'all have
All
a
right,
great
JP.
One. Nice to hear your voice, Bill. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye. All right, you too, JP. Thank you. Hal, I'm not sure when it went away. The string of pearls was the time. I don't know. It's an interesting point, Hal. Hal is speculating on when the azaleas went away. It took a little longer. It was more than just one mayor. It was beginning to happen. Before that mayor came into play. It's now certainly happening with subsequent mayors more dramatically. I had a lot of cooperation from Mayor Dow in terms of celebrating azaleas. We talked about him a lot, that's an interesting point of debate. You're clearly something was going wrong with the azaleas during the 90s that we were no longer celebrating the way we should have, clearly we lost it entirely when we said, let's be the port city rather than the Azalea City. It's good to know. David is sending me pictures of the plain gardening planting cycle. It's a good thing to have if you need it. Do we have a couple of other callers? Do I have another caller, Phil? Yeah, so we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with maybe some callers. There we go.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we wander.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast sunny morning with Plain Gardening. I think we had some kind of little electronic issue. But we are back full steam now. And give us a call, 251-343-0106. Several people have asked me good questions, which I need to get back to. Let me say, Tony, I think what you've got coming up, Tony sent me a picture. He's worried about this seedling coming up. And it's a camellia. I think that's a camellia. I think that's a young camellia. The leaves are a little, but I'd hold on to it. Okay. Tony, don't pull it out. I don't think it's an oak. Could be wrong, but I don't think it's an oak. I think it's a camellia, just young leaves. Young leaves are a little funny looking sometimes. Hey, Earl, let's get back to this question about the mimosa tree. I'm listening.
Bill?
Yes, sir. I'm hearing you.
Bill?
Earl, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you real well.
Okay, well, I've got a mimosa tree that's come up on its own, and it's under a fence, and it's in between some blocks we use to keep the animals from crawling under. Is there any way I can take a limb of that and bury it and get it to re-root?
You know, trees are hard. I have never heard of anybody doing that with mimosa. I don't think so. I don't think it'll layer that well. That's my guess. And there's several reasons I don't think it'll layer very well. So I'm just going to say, Earl, probably not. Trees are harder. And if anybody's got any experience with grafting or layering mimosas, let me know. But I don't think, I do think they probably graft okay, but I don't think they layer that well.
Okay.
But Earl, now here's the alternative. You can ignore me and try it. It won't cost you much, and see if it works. And then you can call me back and tell me it worked. So if you do it, go ahead and find a limb that you can stretch over, put it in the ground, let the tip of the limb come out of the ground, find a pin or something. Like those little staples, long staples that you use to hold things in the ground with.
Yeah.
Staple it in the ground. Let the tip of that branch come up so that the leaves can develop and see what happens. Scrape the bottom of the branch where it touches the ground. Scrape that just a little bit and then throw dirt over that and pin it down and see what happens. And, you know, it may work.
All right, well, great.
So,
I appreciate the answer.
All right. Well, I didn't tell you anything except, oh, shoot, go ahead and try it. See what happens. Yeah. Trees are harder than some other plants to propagate. I'll tell you a story because it entertains me to think about it. When I was in, back in the old days, when I was cutting trees, I was on a crew. We were doing forestry. I was learning a bit about forestry, and we were our college crew was out managing the forest in North Carolina. And we cut a tree, and as we were cutting it, I don't remember exactly how, a limb fell out of the top of the tree, and the base of that limb stuck in the ground straight up. And it buried itself really deep. And we didn't bother with it. We didn't just, you know, we just left it there. We probably, you know, if our forestry professor had known that, he'd probably gotten all over it. We just left it there. And that summer, the tree put on leaves, the limb stuck in the ground, put on leaves. And, I think it might have stayed there for years, except that somebody made it was actually rooting. I have never seen that happen before with a big tree limb. It was a hickory, of all things. And I would have said, no, there's no way. There's no way that would have happened. And yet, there it did. Sometimes under the weirdest circumstances, trees will root. I don't know why that one did. It's a big old limb. Shouldn't have done it at all. I mean, everything about it was wrong. Except it rooted, and it put on leaves, and just like it was going to produce a new tree. I'd never seen anything like it. Yeah, it was kind of a widow maker, they would have called it, except it was only there just it was just amazing. Just landed right straight up in the ground and rooted. So, Earl, maybe the mimosa thing will work. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see. We'll see how well it works. So there it is. Listen, now that allows us to swing back to the subject of trees, which we're going to talk about before the day is over with, but I've got some other things that I want to address here real quickly. The plain gardening planting cycle. I did this. It is, we did it for when we had a newspaper that we were all excited to get every Sunday morning. It was a really good thing. It's a planting cycle. It shows you when to plant all year long. I introduced it when I was at the botanical gardens, when I was director out there, when I taught classes. We gave it away. It makes a great little poster. You can post it on your refrigerator. David, my friend David, says that it is, you can still get the plain gardening planting cycle, and you can get it on Pinterest. And I'm happy for you to have it there. I don't sell it. I did it for the benefit of people in Mobile, so they'll have a better sense of when to plant. There might be a few things I would tweak on there. There's certainly some things I would add. But, it's a pretty good guide. It's a pretty good guide to when you plant things. The plain gardening planting cycle, good time of year to have it and get started with it and kind of follow through all year long. The plain gardening planting cycle, apparently it's available on Pinterest. Those of you who know how to retrieve things from Pinterest can go on and do that. The plain gardening planting cycle, see if that finds it for you on Pinterest. It may indeed. The fellow, my good friend David, who sent me this, usually on Joe Cane Day, we talk about cane syrup. it's a great time to talk about cane syrup. We don't have time to make biscuits this week. I wish we did. Biscuits and cane syrup, a great part of the Joe Cane tradition. Cane syrup is made from sugar cane. It's another one of those things, like azaleas, that we tend to lose contact, but it's part of the culture of the Gulf Coast. It's part of understanding the Gulf Coast is understanding sugar cane. It was hugely important historically. It had its, most of the great crops grown along the Gulf Coast, cotton and other things. Sugar cane has a grand legacy, a beautiful legacy, and a really damaging legacy as well, a really hurtful legacy. But sugarcane is part of the culture of the Gulf Coast, and I will tell you, there's nothing like cane syrup. Sugarcane syrup is just one of the most beautiful things in the whole world. Going to the grocery store and getting the modern cane syrup, which is fine, it's quite good, it's quite delicious. There are several varieties that you can buy, but it's not quite like the old cane syrup. It's still being made, and so David and I have talked about how do we put people in touch with the old-fashioned ways of making cane syrup. The old-fashioned cane syrup, it's absolutely delicious. It's one of the most beautiful, rich, healthy sweeteners you will ever have. It's got all kind of minerals in it. It's a great thing to eat. There it is. David, we need to talk more about growing cane. My cane did really well. I have a little bit of cane in my yard. If you go through some old yards in certain parts of of Midtown and Downtown Mobile, people who've been around for a long time, you'll still see folks with sugarcane in their front yards. It's something people guard and cherish. It's a great thing. You can chew on those cane strips. It's hard to process the cane syrup without a good mule and a grinder. But there's many ways to do it. But that's how it's traditionally done. You grind the cane with a mule going around on a pole, round and round and round on a pole. Grind the syrup out of that cane, and boy, is it delicious. Then you cook it down. Cook it in, what, 3 vats generally is how it's done. Beautiful ways to cook it all down until it's really thick and beautiful. Unbelievably good. Unbelievably good on cornmeal pancakes. Unbelievably good on syrup with sausage. We could have Hall sausage. There it is. Look at that, David. Beautiful picture, David. David Hubble sent me a picture of biscuits with his satsuma jelly and sausage next to it. It'd be a great thing for Joe Kane Day as well. Hey, we're going to be back. Give us a call. 251-343-0106.
If it keeps on raining, love is going to break. If it keeps on raining, love is going to break. And the water gonna come and I have no place to stay. Well, all last night I sat on a lever and moaned. Well, all last night I sat on a lever and moaned.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Oh, yes, sir. It's coming in. I can see this cold spell coming in. I can see the rain coming in first. Be careful out there. We're probably going to have some severe weather for some of you listening. I think particularly if you're up just north of Baldwin County and on up towards Evergreen, pretty severe weather coming in, and there's a chance of it getting even as far south as Mobile. Be prepared for it. It's going to happen this afternoon and tonight. When that's through, we will have a trend towards much colder temperatures. I don't know how much colder. That's going to be a big question. And it's just something we got to be prepared for. But I think a lot of you are going to see a freeze. You're going to see a freeze. It's going to be Tuesday morning. And you need to be prepared for it. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot at these temperatures. And about 30 degrees, it's pretty easy to protect most plants. So really, particularly with the ground being as warm as it is, with as much moisture, there's going to be plenty of ground heat stored, even in the sandier areas. We should be fine. Just cover plants. Remember to cover plants. There's a lot of ways to do it. If you're confused about how to cover plants, you give me a call. We'll talk about each one specifically. Oh, Johnny in Grand Bay has given me, Johnny is the master of cabbages. Just beautiful pictures of cabbages and rutabagas. And he's still eating oranges off of his tree. Johnny, what kind of orange tree did you have? They look beautiful. They're doing really well. It's really good. My blood oranges have about played out. But, I think some of the other oranges are still doing really, really well. David Preston. David, my friend David, who has many attributes, including an interest in azaleas and dogs, and sometimes they converge, and sometimes they don't in the right ways. David found a picture of the gardening cycle on Pinterest, just like my other David friend David. David B. sent me a picture of the Pinterest picture of that poster. David P. is going to make a canvas of that, he says, a canvas print of that. It's a useful thing. It's one of the, in terms of usefulness, it may be one of the more useful things I've ever done, was to put together that little poster. It needs updating. Somebody could update it. Somebody could probably do a better job on it one of these days. Nobody has. I encourage you to do it if you think you can. But it's pretty useful. Sean is asking about his hibiscus. Sean, if you've got the tropical hibiscus, the woody hibiscus, the hibiscus that stays woody, that has woody stems, yeah, it needs some protection. If it's in a container, of course, move it to a warm place. If it's outside, just put a sheet or a blanket over it. It should be fine. But it's going to need some protection. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be fine. No problems tomorrow morning. Monday morning, there may be a slight problem, depending on where you are. It could be a problem on Monday morning because it's going to get down to around 35, 34 in West Mobile Monday morning. Well, I got to get my dates right, but I think Monday or Tuesday morning, look at the temperatures. If it's down to 34 or 35, you need to check and cover those plants. I think maybe it's Tuesday morning that we begin to see the really cold weather. We'll have to look at that and see how things are. Tomorrow morning, I think we're okay, but let's double check. We'll double check on that. Check on the weather. If you see 34, 35, or even 36, it's a good idea to cover it. On Tuesday, I think we get our really cold temperatures. We really need to watch on that. Maybe Wednesday morning, too. Look at those temperatures. Watch for them. Where can you buy cane syrup today? Well, that's a good question. You know, a lot of stores, including Rouse's, have some of the commercially produced cane syrup on the shelf. And you can go try some of that. What's the brand that comes in the yellow can? Oh, shoot. Somebody will chime in here. David, tell me the name of that that comes in the yellow can from... If anybody can tell me the name of that. But it's... They sell it, I'm sure, at Rouse's and at several other grocery stores. It's not quite as good as the traditional old-time cane syrup, but it'll give you a little bit of a taste of what cane syrup is all about. Really good stuff. Sandra, is that right? Have I got Sandra on the phone?
You have it right, yes.
So what's up?
Well, I have a very long driveway.
Yes, ma'am.
And let me turn this radio off. It is bordered on each side by azaleas and by camellias, and of course they're blooming out right now. And I know I can't prune them. And these azaleas are probably 8 foot, and the camellias are probably not quite 8 foot, but they've been there since between 1985 and 1990.
Yeah.
So these, they're really, 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 really big, okay?
Yes.
And will it hurt after the blooming season is ended to cut them way down?
Well, they're going to grow right back. That's the problem.
Well, that's fine, but it'll take them a while.
Not long. About 2 years.
Okay.
But you can certainly cut them back. And they'll be the same size in about 2 years, given the roots. It won't take them very long. They've already got a big root system. That means they're going to grow back very, very fast. So it's not a permanent solution. And one of the things that happens, if you keep doing that every 2 years, you really begin to stress them then. Here's what I would say. And this is for azaleas, not camellias. Camellias will not tolerate that. Camellias cannot be cut back like that. The azaleas can be. But only about once every 10 years do you want to cut them back that hard. And at this point, it probably wouldn't hurt to cut them all back.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least cut half of them back so you'll have, you know, so you won't lose all your blooms next year. Do it as soon after they bloom as possible.
Okay.
Give them a little bit of fertilizer. Clean out the vines and other things that are in there. But I guarantee you they're going to be 6 foot tall by the end of summer.
Okay.
And
I have a landscaper who says he's going to help me. So I just wanted to make sure, because I'm only 4'10", right? And I can only get a trimmer so high, which it's almost like it's getting a overhang, you know, above the driveway.
Yeah, well, see, so let me, let's, yeah, so, well, there it is. It's a big problem. So I would cut them back and start over. Here's the thing to do. If you start over them and you prune them a little bit every year, you can keep them from doing that. Here's the trick. And you know, we're going to come back after this break and probably talk a little bit more, but you don't want to just shear them. In fact, the way to keep an azalea small is not to use shears across the top. Mm-hmm. That gets to be very hard after a while. Mm-hmm. And you could certainly try to shape them that way. But one of the things that I do to keep my azaleas is to find the branches that stick up way above the others. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And go back under the crown of the plant and cut them off underneath. And that way, and they're all going to be about 3 feet high where those real tall ones emerge. That makes as much difference on controlling size as anything. You can mm-hmm. do that any time of year. Now, it sounds like yours have already gotten pretty big. It wouldn't hurt to cut them all the way back. You'll
right.
be fine. Just do that after the bloom. But when we come back next year, when it's time to prune them, rather than just using shears, let's talk about how to prune them so that it's a little easier to keep them from getting much bigger quickly. You'll have to prune them a little bit every year, but there's an easier way of doing it, okay?
But the camellias, which are at least 8 foot tall, I couldn't cut those back. I just have to keep cutting them away from the drive, right?
Yeah, camellias, yes, and I would suggest making trees out of your camellias. So begin to think of your camellias now as small trees.
Okay.
And you see what I'm saying? And you can thin out around the base.
Thin out.
Don't do this with the azaleas. It's just the opposite with the azaleas.
Right.
But with the camellias, kind of keep those, you can keep those trunks a little bit bare if you like, and just have a little cloud of foliage at the top. That's one way of doing it, and hope that foliage is higher than, so that it doesn't interfere with the driveway. But yes, if you cut camellias back, they don't like it. They just don't like to be cut heavily.
Okay.
And it can cause lots of disease problems. Mm-hmm. Send me pictures if you want, and we can talk about each of those camellias individually and the best way of dealing with them. You can send the pictures here.
They're different. Each camellia, just about, I probably have 5 or 6 varieties.
Yep.
One of them even has blooms of at least 4 to 5 inches across.
Oh, that's beautiful. Send me pictures of the ones that you're worried about pruning, and let's talk about them. We'll talk about that next week. How's that?
Well, basically, that's fine. But basically, all of the camellias need pruning. Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, well, send me some pictures next week, and
we'll do
it.
That.
Send it to this number.
Thank you.
Hey, Steens, that's the name of that cane syrup. Steens, folks. Thank you, David. Gosh, I don't know why I blanked out. Steens.
Don't fly, Mr. Bluebird. I'm just walking down the road. Early morning sunshine.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Oh, wow. We almost made it through. But it's Joe Kane Day, so it's appropriate to have a little bit of Tiny Tim on a day like today. David Hubble tells me you can get Steens at Winn-Dixie or Rouse's. But you know, there are traditional cane syrup makers still in the South, and they have these special days where they're selling cane syrup. It's usually in fall. I got a case from my family's old home place up near Clark County, Mississippi. on the Clark County, Wayne County line. In the land of the old lower Choctaw towns, Shabuda and Yucata, Hawani, in the old language, all of those places still making cane syrup the traditional way up there, or at least they were a few years ago. Boy, it's a great tradition. I hope we don't lose it. David B. and I often talk about how we keep that tradition going. And we've talked about having cane syrup festivals here in the South. But Steen's is one place you can go and get it today if you demand it today with exclamation points. That's good. Hey, Tara, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, it's coming in. I'm not far from the botanical gardens in the up in the hills, and
yes.
We've had pretty good couple of blows already. According to my very scientific windsock, it's coming out of the south. hey, it works, it's beginning to increase in frequency. The bands of it. But anyway, what I really called you about is because this is happening. And because as soon as this show is over, I'm going to go out and do my tarp and things to anchor, because you got to anchor when this is anchor and
that's right, that's
stuff.
Right.
And
but
the easy
tonight
way
you don't need to anchor though.
If you don't have bricks, which a lot of people do, but even if you do, it's even easier to use quart or liter plastic bottles or whatever plastic bottles you've got. And it dawned on me that you don't even have to really, fill the bottles. They don't have to be recyclable. Just use the ones that you've already got around the house. I keep them around because you never know what's going to happen. And just chunk them on there to anchor the things down. And you can always use it later to water plants with, after the...
Yeah.
When the real spring gets here.
Right.
Am I making sense? You're being awfully
yes,
quiet.
And, there's some debate about how much difference the plastic bottles make. They're not as effective as some
about
things.
I'm filling them with water and using the weight of it to
anchor. Right. Yeah, putting them around the plants. Yes, that can make that can make a difference.
For the sheet or whatever that you've thrown up there and you don't want to blow off instead of a brick.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Fill them up. I didn't think you were with me.
I'm sorry. I see what you're saying. Okay, that's a good idea.
I'm just trying to learn how to do better.
Yeah, bricks and I may not have been listening carefully. Bricks and branches work too. And when you kind of swung on to good. I'm with you now.
You're a gardener. You are a creator. And so use what you got, and sometimes you can use both for maximum effectiveness.
That's right.
I got
so
a request, please. Before I let you go, you let me go. The circle chart thing, I still have my copy. I treasure it. And I'm so glad to hear that someone else is doing I think a poster size would be just tremendous for gardeners. But I have a request. Yeah. For you that I made several years ago, and I'd like to reiterate, do one for herbs in Mobile. Because herbs in Mobile are not like growing herbs everywhere else.
That's right. And they'd have to be designed a little bit differently because herbs aren't annuals. A lot of them are perennials. And you see what I'm saying? So it's
yes,
the
sir.
Planting time is different. But we'll do that. We'll do that sometime. The problem is I don't have a method of distribution like I used to through the newspaper, and so it makes it harder to get it distributed. But we'll think about it. We'll think about how we do it.
Well, maybe that enterprising person that's going to be doing the campus thing could be helpful with that.
Maybe so.
Anyway,
I'm not sure David is ready to take all that on just yet.
Yeah. All right. Good to hear from you, Tara.
You too.
So here it is. It looks like a big head of cotton candy, Jim in Georgetown. It does indeed. The azaleas this time of year just look absolutely beautiful. Listen, Aubie, I wanted to get to you before we while we have a chance. Yeah, you know, if you've got Meyer's lemons, folks, and they're in full bloom, if you've got citrus that are in full bloom, I don't care what kind of citrus it is, if you see that temperature getting down below 33 degrees, it's probably a good idea to cover them. Because it could do severe damage to the bloom. At 36 degrees, we might get a little bit of frost that would thin the blooms, and that would be okay. It probably won't get most of the blooms, but it'll get some. But listen, if it's getting below 33, it could damage those blooms pretty severely. All it takes is a sheet. I think it'll help. A blue tarp is fine. The best system is a sheet with a blue tarp. Now, let me say, I don't know that these plants need covering tonight. Tonight's going to be the windy night, but I don't think it's going to be that cold in the morning. When we have to worry is Monday night going into Tuesday morning and Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning. That's when we're going to see those really cold temperatures. Check your local forecast. Go to the National Weather Service. Don't depend on some dinky little thing on your phone. Those guys don't understand temperatures in Mobile. They don't understand temperatures along the Gulf Coast, which can vary a lot from place to place. Go to the National Weather Service. Click on where you are on their map. Look at their map. They're thinking about this a lot harder than most other people you're getting your weather information from. Best way to get rid of the ants? Let's talk about ants. Once you stir up an ant bed 3 or 4 days in a row, they're gone. Hey, folks, listen, we're fixing to run out of time. It's about that time today. 10:57. We got some really cool music coming up. It's great music from Captain Beefheart. It's traditional for me to play this on Joe Kane Day. It has a great sort of second line beat that's really cool. And I can almost hear a parade around this. So we're gonna take it out with the Captain Beefheart. A lot of fun to listen to. When I see mommy, I feel like a mummy. I feel like a mummy. There's some, some great musicians from Mobile who actually played this. The Meridian Arts Ensemble played this with a brass quintet. It's really, really cool sounding. Did a great job of it. But some cool music going into Joe Kane Day. Oh, it looks like the rain is coming. I hope it doesn't spoil your Joe Kane Day too much. I hope you're well protected through this little bit of cold as it's coming on, and we'll be back. Go.
Oh, whoa, when I see mommy, I feel like a mummy.